Hey, thanks so much for being here this morning. My name is Ron, and I'm the lead pastor here. It's so good to see you guys and gals this morning. And we are wrapping up today our series that we've been in for the last several weeks called The Plan. And this is week 7. And so it's been a little bit longer than we typically go through a series, but it's been really important that we establish the things that we've established, the whys of what we're doing, and then the what of what we're doing. And so we've spent quite a bit of time just kind of digging down through it. So I want to spend a little time up front here just kind of recapping some of the things. Maybe you've missed some of those. And so I want to kind of help walk us through and get us caught up and then be able to wrap that up today. Never mind my Vanna White here to my right. She's just getting things, something ready for me. So I know she's much better looking than me and all that good stuff. But anyway, so here's the thing. So what, when we started out, we started with the why of the plan, because if we don't know the why, then we totally miss out on the what and the how. They just don't have the oomph that they need to keep us going if we don't understand why. And so backing up a little bit, the why is first, it's God's amazing love for us and how much He cares for you and for me and all of mankind, that he loved us and He demonstrated that in His Son Christ, who He sent to die on a cross and pay the price for the sins of all man. All mankind. And so Christ died on that cross. He paid a brutal price for our sin. But then He was taken off the cross, put into a tomb for 3 days. And God then raised Him from the dead with all the power and love that He had, so that you and I could be forgiven of our sins and have the opportunity to be forgiven of our sins. But then not just for that day and for the time here, but for all eternity. Through Christ's resurrection, it was established for us to be able to have that. And so the why of why we do what we do begins in that love. And so it's not like a love that we have for each other. It's not like a love we have for as parents, for our kids, or anything like that. It's a much greater love. And so He demonstrated that for us. And so we need to know it and accept it. And then live in it. And that's an important piece to begin with. The second part of the why is us. It's our purpose. Why we exist. We exist and we were created to have a relationship with God. That's the why of it. Why does he love us so much? Because he wants to have that relationship with us. Why would He send His Son? Because He wants to have that relationship with us. And our purpose is to fellowship with God. And so we need to understand that is where we begin. And so we got to quit worrying about everything else, and we got to go back to that relationship. It's got to be number one. He said the most important thing we do is to love Him first. And so we need to be able to go back to that. Then it comes down to the church. So you got God's love is part of the why. Our purpose is part of the why, but then also the church is part of the why. And why does the church exist? It's to go and tell people. It's to bring us together to then go tell people about that love. That we exist here to be part of that. And so the church is here to minister to God, to minister to others, and then to minister to the world. And so we have a responsibility in that. Those are the pieces. And then when you take all that, then you mix that together for us as a church, and then it begins to the what and the hows begin to roll out of that, and we begin with worship. And that's just acknowledging God and who He is and His love for us and His purpose for us. And that's the part that we play in that, and it's to be something that comes out of a relationship, not something we manufacture, not something that we try to do because it feels right, but it's got to be out of the relationship. If the relationship's not there, listen, the worship is in vain. It's fake. It's manufactured. So it's got to come out of that relationship that we have. It's got to be a response, and it's got to be practical and personal out of all of that. And so that's worship is part of the what. And then the next part was community. And community is something that we've been working hard to establish and really let the foundations be dug here before that. And so that all begins when we start with service and not serve us. You know, we talked about that it's not about coming to get, but it's about coming to give. And when we do that the way that God designed it, then the church functions like it's supposed to, and we have the true community that we're supposed to have. And then the second part of that, the step two of creating that, is to just do that with courage, to face the challenge of why we're here with courage and be bold about it and not be afraid of what it may cost us, not to be afraid of what others may think or say. It's about realizing that's why we're here. And we've got the most incredible why ever, and the what that comes out of that is what God has put us here for. And so we can't be afraid to do the things that He asks us to do. And so that's just a kind of a quick synopsis of getting us up to this point. And so today what I want to do is just close out by looking at what we've talked about and being motivated then to do the things that we are called to do. Be motivated to work out this plan that has been laid out before us. And I think I speak for all of us here as part of URA Community Church that we want to see the plan go forward. We want to see that happen. We want to see the church be what God's called it to be. And I believe, and as well as the leadership here and many of you, that He's calling us to something awesome, to call us to do something that really no other church is here to do. Because listen, if we're all here to do the exact same thing, then somebody's unnecessary. And so there are people in this community that we're to reach that nobody else is to reach. And there's other churches that are reach people that we're never going to reach. It's about us if we believe we've truly been put here for those purposes and for those whys that we talked about, then listen, we've got to understand that we're unique in that. And so there are things that we need to be able to do. So I want to take a moment, because that's why she's standing here, to take a moment and help us understand that there are a couple things coming up that we've got to be able to do well to be able to begin to fulfill this purpose. And the first one is coming up next Sunday. And it's immediately following our service. It's for us to be able to minister to some particular people in this world through Operation Christmas Child. Now, that sounds kind of weird because churches all over the place do that. Yeah, but listen, we have specific boxes that are going to go to specific children. I don't know where they are. I don't know who they are. But I know the way the program works and the way my God works is that there are boxes that are going to come from this place that are going to end up somewhere for some child that's going to open it and that's going to be exposed to the gospel, possibly for the first time ever. It's important that we get that this love that we talk about and this purpose that we're here, it plays a huge part. And these aren't just boxes. These aren't just gifts. These aren't just a few toiletries that we ship somewhere. That they're part of the plan for some child to be able to hear the gospel and to accept it and be changed forever. And so Missy's been working hard getting our list together of all the things, and I'm sure she's had her little elves and all that. But listen, there are things coming up that you need to just get ready to go and just buy a bunch of them. So how about fun dough? I mean, come on, fun dough? Kids need to experience fun dough in their life. And what God's going to do with this fun dough is he's going to help them meet Jesus through it. You're going to buy some. We're going to put them in a box. We're going to take them to Samaritan's Purse. They're going to ship it to wherever. And some kid's going to open it and begin to play with it to get their attention. And then they're going to open the booklet that comes with it and that they walk them through. And they're going to hear the gospel. Fun dough. Yeah. These are all small toys, but we need a lot of other things. And so there's a whole nother post about it. But there's I'm a superhero, right? I mean, I don't need to buy one of those packs because I just am. But if you need one of those, there you go. Okay. So you can buy some of those. You can buy a foam flyer, right? We always think that the Bible is the tool that God uses for. Can you? He can use a foam flyer. to get somebody into heaven. Did you know, you get that? That's pretty awesome. So I think you could go find a few of these. These are like dollar stuff, y'all. A play pack from Mickey and Minnie or whatever, and there's one. So cupcakes my youngest could tell me what all that is. But toothbrushes, right? If you and I go together and do this, then kids they get to hear about Jesus, right? Now, I don't know about you. There's some people that I know that they just need to know soap. They don't need to know Jesus. But if we could get them soap and Jesus, wouldn't that be really cool? I mean, you know, I'm just saying. Anyway. So next week, we're going to eat lunch together right after the service. We're going to set up tables. We're going to bring all this stuff together. We're going to put it in, and then all of us are going to go together. We're going to pack the boxes, and then we're going to get them ready, and they're going to be shipped to wherever so that kids can learn about Jesus. It doesn't just impact the kid, because listen, the children get the box. They learn about Jesus, and they go home and tell their parents, and then they become believers in Christ as well, and we begin to change the world one kid at a time with some soap and a toothbrush and a foam flyer. I mean, that's not very hard, is it? And so we all get to play a part in that, and this purpose that we're here for plays into that. So next week, you need to bring some food, you know, bring a covered dish enough for your family and one more, because we're going to eat together, and then we're going to pack those boxes and we're going to get them ready. This ministry, that's what ministry can look like. And it's because of this plan that God's brought us together that allows us to be able to do this. And so you and I get to play a major part in what God can do through those things. Because here's the thing. Listen, we don't have to look far to realize that the church has the big church has really experienced an emptying over the last couple of decades. I mean, all the baby boomers that came to church to bring their kids so their kids could hear the gospel, now their kids have grown up, and not only have the kids left the church, but so have the boomers left the church, because we've lost out on what the why is and the what. We focus so much on the what that the why just wasn't enough. There wasn't taught about enough. And so today I want us to get that why. I want us to be encouraged and motivated by the why and the what together. They left in droves. It said that if today in America, if you took all the denominations and our population is still about a third unchurched. That are totally unchurched, and it's growing. It's like 100 million plus people. If you took all the unchurched in America and you put them together, they would be like the 10th or 11th largest nation in the world. Bigger than any nation in Europe. Think about that. In our country, there are that many people who are unchurched. I think we have work to do, don't you? And so we need to get why we are doing what we are doing. But there is now, finally, after the last couple of decades of a decline, there's now this new interest in the church. Not really in the church, but in what the true gospel is and what the true church is meant to be. And so now we have an opportunity to take advantage of that. To make sure that we get the why down, so that the what and the how become these just second nature to us. So what do we need to do to be able to do that? I think for us, I think it's just we keep doing what we're doing, but we do it together, and we do it more often, and we do it better. That we keep loving people and showing them what that looks like. That we provide opportunities to take the gospel places that it hasn't been before. This plan that we have is a powerful thing. And I know for a lot of people, it's like, that's Ron's plan. Ron Ron has this plan for our church, and so we need to come so that we can do Ron's plan for what the church is. And I have to tell you that Ron doesn't have a plan. I don't. It's not my plan. I have the plan that God has given us as a church, and I have the plan that God has given us to carry out, and I have the things that I believe that He has led us to and led us through to get us to this place. But listen, you got to understand, this isn't about me. It's not my plan. And it's kind of much like it was for David in the Old Testament. When he stood before the people of Israel, and he made some very similar statements that I've made throughout the series. And if you turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and begin in verse 19, we kind of see how this went. It says, here's David's talking. He says, "Every part of this plan," David told Solomon, "was given to me in writing from the hand of the Lord." I believe that I have the same plan in writing for us as well. It's right here. There's not anything new that we have to do. It's written down for us. And David's saying the same thing. Listen, it's all written down. Then David continued, "Be strong and courageous and do the work. Don't be afraid or discouraged. For the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. He will see to it that all the work related to the temple of the Lord is finished correctly." Thank goodness this isn't up about my plan, because God will see it through correctly. Me or any of us would mess it up if it was our plan. It's His plan, and He'll see it through. Verse 21, "The various divisions of priests and Levites will serve in the temple of God, and then others with skills of every kind will volunteer, and the officials and the entire nation are at your command." We close out this series. Let me just wrap it up with some things that we've learned and how those things that we've learned can motivate us to get serious and get on task with this plan. It's how we're going to move out under God's direction. Not under one of us, not any of our direction, but under God's direction. Action is the plan. It's moving and not sitting. It's about changing and not staying the same. And so what does it look like for us? The first thing that we have to do is understand that God always has a plan and uses people to do it. He has a plan. It's His plan. Yet He uses people to do it. He uses all of us that are willing and able to do it. And so often I think we take that able part and we say, "Well, I'm just not able." Yeah, you are. Every person in this room, regardless of where you are and how you feel physically right now or whatever, you are able. There's something that we all can do. 2 Chronicles 28, verse 19, "Every part of this plan," David told Solomon, "was given to me in writing from the hand of the Lord." The plan that we're following is His. We've got to stay focused on His plan. Never turn it into our plan. Never decide that it's what we want and what we think we want to do. It's got to be what He has told us is the plan. His plans are always right. They're perfect. If we will stay with it. He planned you and created you for a reason. He planned me and created me for a reason. And now He wants to take us and use us to do this plan. And what He's looking for are churches and groups of people that are willing to step out and do whatever it is that He calls us to. So He has a plan, and He uses people to do it. The average church in America is 101 people and baptizes about one person or less a year. I don't know how you baptize less than the person, but anyway. Maybe you use half a tub, or I don't know. Anyway, but 101 people and baptizes less than one person a year. So we've already baptized 8 this year. So, and we're running about 100 or so. So we're above average in that. But here's the problem. The average church is 101 people, baptizes less than one person a year. So what does that mean? If you are here and you don't add anybody, where do you stay? Here. And so the next year, You do the same, you're here, and here, and here, and here, and here. And what does that create? Flatline, right? What does it mean if something's got a flat line? It's dead. There may be something still clicking. There may be something still beating, or you know, there may be a little something there, but nope, it's dead. And so we've got to be careful that we never let it, the plan becomes something that's dead. Dead in us. We've got to be willing to and able to do what it is that He's called us to do. That's not God's plan to stay the same. He always wants there to be growth. Not for a church, not for people. He wants there to be action. He wants there to be growth, and he wants life to be there. The building of the temple in the Old Testament is a great example for us. It sets a precedence for how He wants to build us just like He did then. It's the building of a spiritual family. And that's God's family. Ephesians 1:5 says, God decided in advance to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. This is what He wanted to do, and it gave Him great pleasure. Now, I don't want to get into the argument of, oh, well, we were predestined. I do not believe that's what it says, that He knew exactly and that, well, it's just, you know, that or what. I don't believe that's where He's at. I believe that He predestined that all of us would be saved because He said that He didn't want anyone to perish. But we still have the choice. And if you don't choose to accept Christ as your Savior and you take your last breath, you die and you spend forever separated from Him. That's what the Scripture teaches. Pretty straight. But we all have the opportunity. Just like those kids that are going to receive those boxes, they'll have an opportunity once they hear it to accept it or deny it. We're going to be praying they accept it. We're going to be praying that they're changed for all eternity. But I think we may need to make sure we're praying that for us as well. That those that don't know Him here do the same thing. God has a plan and He wants to use people to accomplish it. The second thing is this, that God is with those who carry out His plan. When you get on board with Him and realize the why of the plan, and you realize the how and the what of the plan, and you get on board and say you're willing to be part of it, then He is there with you to walk you through, and in a lot of times and in ways to carry you through. He's with those who carry out His plan. 1 Chronicles 28 verse 20 says, be strong and courageous and do the work. Don't be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. You know, it's kind of interesting. We were in here doing the walkthrough earlier today, and I could hardly get those words out. I was reading them off a page. I just couldn't get them out because it's so overwhelming to realize that God will never fail me or forsake me. I mean, thank you, because I think we all need to get that. That He'll never forsake you. He'll never leave you. He'll never fail you. You may turn away and walk away from Him, but listen, He will never do that to you. For some of us in the room, maybe we feel like we've walked away, and that because we've walked away, He's walked away too. We just assume, we put assumptions onto God a lot of times as if He's another person, and He's not. His ways are much higher, the Scripture says. But just because we've turned and walked away doesn't mean that He has. Doesn't mean that we can just, you know, forget about Him, and most importantly, doesn't mean He's forgotten about us because we've walked away. No, He's right where He has always been. He's right there beside you. Never failing you or forsaking you. He will carry you through whatever it is that He called you to do. Some days it just doesn't look like it. Some days it looks like, man, I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to get through this. I'm not going to be able to do what it is he's called me to, but I'm telling you that he will never leave you or forsake you. He's got a plan for you, and he wants you to do it, and so much so that he'll be right there beside you. Sometimes I have to ask myself, what would I do? What would I do for God if I absolutely just knew I couldn't fail? What would you do if you absolutely knew that you couldn't fail? Because I think there's a lot of us sitting in the room today that says, you know what, I'd really like to do that. I feel like God probably wants me to do that, but I'm afraid I wouldn't make it. What is it for you that you would do if you knew you couldn't fail? Because here's the reality. God says that he'll never fail you, forsake you. He'll never leave you. So if he calls you to do something, you need to understand that he's there with you to take you through whatever that is. If you could do it on your own, you don't need him to begin with. So he's called you, and he's called me, and he's called our church to things that we can't do on our own. That's absolutely, if we sat down, there's no math problem that could make them work. There's no algorithm that we could work its way through to do. There's nothing that we could possibly figure out in any way, shape, or form that if and beyond that if he calls you to it, that it wouldn't work. It may not end up looking like you and I wanted to look, but if he's called us to it, then he's going to be right there with us to walk us all the way through it, and that's going to take us beyond where we ever thought we could go ourselves. If he's called you to it, listen, he's going to take you there. I think just the fact that we are still here as a church, 3.5 years later, as you are a community church, I'm just telling you, there's reasons why we just shouldn't even be here. But the fact that we are is amazing, and the fact that God's had his hand on it and brought us through. There's things that I know that he's done in my life and in lives in this room that there's no other explanation except that he was right in the middle of it. He's there and wants to walk us through that. You can trust him. That he won't fail you. Philippians 1 verse 6 says, "And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns." Paul said to the Philippians, "Listen, I'm so convinced of this that I know that if he started it, he'll finish it." Let me ask you, are you that certain? That if he started something in you, that he'd finish it. If you're not, listen, we got to work on your view of who God really is. Because who he's promised us to be is that person who will do whatever he says he will do. And we can trust him with that. What if you veer from the path? What if you get started and you decide you're going to do something different? Or what if you decide that, you know what, in the middle of this, there's some shiny squirrel that kind of runs out and gets your attention, right? Anybody here with the shiny squirrels? All the time, you know? I sent somebody a message this morning and said, "Hey, I was supposed to send you a message yesterday, but I got distracted." It happens all the time. But what happens if we get distracted from what God's called us to? That's a pretty good question, isn't it? Listen, the plan is still there. And God's still there. He's waiting on us to get back on track with him so that he can finish it in us. But if we're not careful, if we decide that we're just not going to finish it, then listen, he may just take somebody else and finish out that plan with them. And they'll get the blessing. And they'll get to be there when they see that come to fruition. And so today I want to encourage you. Listen, we got Operation Christmas Child boxes that have got to be filled. Because there are kids waiting to hear from those boxes. And that's going to take you and me to do that. So we got to be ready to get involved and don't veer. Don't get sidetracked. Don't just say, you know what? It's not that big a deal. It's a huge deal. It's an eternal deal. And we've got to be ready to do our part so that others can hear this, because God has a plan and He uses people to do it, and He will carry you through it. Number three, every person can be a part. Is there an exception to every person? Nope. So sorry. Maybe you're here for, today's your only day ever here. You're not off the hook. Maybe you're here every Sunday and you say, well, you know what? Because I'm here every Sunday, I just don't have to do it. Nope. It says every person can play a part, can be something that He uses in this. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 21, the various divisions of priests and Levites will serve in the temple of God. Others with skills of every kind will volunteer. Man, did you know volunteer is it? I think we have to add that to, it's not a four-letter word, but we have to classify it like one, I think. It's like the word commit. Like, I think those two words, you know, they're in some dirty word dictionary somewhere. Because we don't like them. We don't like to volunteer and we don't like to commit. Because once we volunteer, we are committed and we have to do it. Do something that we probably just really don't want to do. But the Bible says that volunteering is part of who we are to be. There are those that are gonna do the priesting and the Leviting, all right? Those are the preachers and the worship leaders. There's those that are going to do that part. But then everybody else has a responsibility, something that you can do. Listen, some things that you can do aren't even what you're most gifted in. Maybe your gift is, I don't know, hand puppets. I don't know. Maybe your spiritual gift is hand puppeting. But God may just want to use you to take that hand and shake somebody else's hand and tell them, you're really glad they're here today. I'm just kind of looking. I don't see anybody. Let's see, make sure. Back. Yeah. I don't see anybody that can't shake somebody's hand and say, hey, I'm glad you're here today. See, hold up your hands. Hold them up. Hold them up. Hold them up. If you don't put your hands up, I'm going to come out there and make you. Okay, so see, we all got them. Every person can play a part. It's just being willing to do it. There's simple things to do. Bible's saying that they're building and preparing the temple, and there's these professionals are going to do their part, but then there's these others. There's everybody else that's got a part to play. A skill is any ability that you have. Some of you may not be people. I get that. And so you're not going to speak to someone that you don't know to save your life. That's fine. But maybe you would write them a card and say, hey, I'm so glad you came to URA Community Church today. Hey, thank you for being a part of our church family. Hey, I can cook a spaghetti plate and freeze it and give it to somebody. I mean, it goes on and on. What we could do. Some of you have the ability to do those things. You see, I know what you're saying. Maybe some of you are thinking, you know what, this sounds like every other message that Ron preaches. It sounds like the same old thing. Oh, it's the same old, same old. Listen, sometimes it's just got to be the same old, because until we get the same old down, we got to stay where we are until we get it before we can move on. Each of us can play a part, and it's just not that hard. God has a plan, and He uses people to do it. And those people are us. And He promises to be there with us, to carry us through, to do it. And every single one of us has some kind of ability to allow Him to use us. So today I want to motivate you. You know, I've been watching motivational speeches like all week. I watched the Miracle on Ice. You remember when the U.S. Hockey team beat the Soviets? You know, 1980, I think, right? In 1980. And man, some of you weren't even alive and you're like, there was a 1980. But anyway, but there was this great moment that happened. If you haven't seen it, the movie, you've got to see this movie of these, of how God took this ragtag bunch of guys that weren't even supposed to be great hockey players, or even good hockey players in a lot of cases. But they came together and the coach took what they had and he had them give it all. And when they gave it all, they had this amazing run and won the gold medal in the Olympics. Beat the Russians, who were unbeatable. See, sometimes we think in the church, I believe that we think Satan is unbeatable. But I'm telling you, we've got the greatest coach who's got the greatest game plan. And if we'll just let his words motivate us and get us going, then I'm telling you that we could take on hell with a water pistol and win. It can happen. I guess I'm just dumb enough to believe that. I watched Hoosiers and how this high school basketball team in Indiana wins and the coach motivates them not to be worried about the scoreboard, not to, to just go out and play. Friday Night Lights. Coach says, listen, it's about your relationships. In the day, it's about how you tell each other the truth and you're honest with each other. You build these relationships, right? Well, the only relationship before God in all of that is the relationship with God. But listen, it's the principle is the same. Watch Rocky. It's not how much you get knocked down, it's how much you get back up, right? I know that's terrible, but you get the point. Listen, it sounds hokey sometimes, doesn't it? But we're part of the greatest plan ever. We have the greatest message that we could take to anybody. Hey, we've all seen those movies. In a lot of cases, most of us, you know, if we're sports fans, we've seen most of those movies. We've probably seen more of those movies than we have even been to places where we could hear great pastors preach. But I'm telling you, there are people in our community that need us to get motivated with the gospel. There are people that need to know that there is a God who's not just some figurehead waiting to beat them up for messing up, but that loves them because they've messed up. He was willing to do something incredible so that they could be fixed from that big mess up and they could be made whole and into a relationship with Him. So are we gonna take that message and encourage people with it? I'm not like beating you up. Like I'm like, come on, let's go. Cause I'm like about to bust today. Because I just keep seeing so many hurting people keep hurting. And I know what the answer is. You want to know why so many people are looking for, you know, are finding themselves at the end of a needle? Why so many are finding themselves at the bottom of a pill bottle in our society? Because they're looking for the one thing that God can put in their lives that nothing else can. They're not going to find it there. But if you call yourself a believer in Jesus, you've already found it. So how about we inject a little of that into our society? Who do you know that just needs to know? You don't have to be me. You don't have to be crazy like me and willing to do whatever. You just got to be willing to know what's happened in you and be willing to tell somebody about it. Last week we had a couple visit the church, and he's from Nairobi, Kenya. So we had a lot to talk about, you know, from being there and different things. But I began to talk to him. I said, so tell me, how did you meet Jesus? How did you find out? Was it a missionary that came? Was it, you know, was it this big revival, big tent thing or whatever? He said, no. This pastor, my aunt, went to a church. The pastor, she brought him to our house because none of us wanted to have anything to do with him. So she brought him to our house. And he began to tell me his story. And when I heard his story, it was like my story. And I realized that how God changed him is how I needed to be changed. And so I accepted Jesus. Somebody told their story. And somebody got changed forever. Half the world away from us. This was not a missionary. This was just a pastor from Kenya. So I'm thinking, like, who do I need to go tell my story to in Albemarle that just needs to hear it just like he did? Who do you need to tell your story to? See, there's a plan. And it's got these amazing whys to it. It's a pretty simple what's. Pretty simple how's. So you are a community church, so here we are. We've got the message. We've got what we need. Are we willing to go and tell our community about it? We're getting ready to go into the craziest season of all, right? I mean, next week starts Thanksgiving. You know, we're going to start our brand new series, Who Stole My Thanksgiving? We're going to talk about some things that still are our thankfulness. But we're going to go into this time, and then right off of that goes right, you know, right into the holidays and all of that. And people are going to be searching for something. They're going to think it's going to be wrapped in paper with a bow. How about if we just take it and it's just us with a message of eternal salvation? Something that will change their life forever. I think that'd be a pretty cool gift. God, we ask today that you would help us to just realize your plan. God, I know it's big. It's so the whole world comes to know, so that no person in this earth would perish, but would have everlasting life. That whoever believes in your Son and what he did for them can experience salvation and be changed forever. Black, white, purple, green, yet whatever. Your message came and is here for us to take. So God, I ask today that you would forgive me of the times that I've just missed the boat. Where I didn't share when I needed to share, where I just didn't speak up when I needed to speak up. God, I pray that you'd forgive me of those times. But God, I pray that you would give me a fresh sensitivity to those opportunities. That God, that I wouldn't miss them anymore, but I'd be willing to let you guide me right in there. God, I pray that as you do that in my life, that it becomes contagious within this church body. That you begin to do that in others' lives and begin to just give us opportunities to tell people about you. I know people in here do. They tell me when they do, and they share the stories of you working in it. And I'm thankful of that. But God, I just believe that there's so much more we can do, and there's this impact that we can have in this community based on who you are and who you want people to know that you are. and how you want to use us. And so, God, today I pray first for those in the room that don't know you, that don't have that knowledge themselves, God, that they would just reach out to you and acknowledge that they don't. And then be willing to let you just work in their life. And God, that they wouldn't want to just stay where they are, but they'd want to accept your Son Jesus as their Savior, to know that they're sinners lost without Him. But through Him, they can be found and set free from their sin. And that, God, that we can take that message wherever it needs to go. God, I pray today that you would move in those that need to make that decision right now. And for those that are in the room that just need to ask your forgiveness for just not making themselves available like they know you want them to be. And God, forgive them. You make us a promise that when we confess those things to you, you're faithful and just to forgive us. So I pray that you would just today pour out your forgiveness in the lives of the people here. And then God, begin to just use us all in a way that God begins to change our little circle. And then that changes the next circle, and that changes the next, until God, that our whole community begins to look different, to sound different. And so God, I pray that you would just have your way in our lives. God, help us to take this message wherever it is that you want it to go. And that, God, that we'll always give you the glory because you deserve it. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.